Korean man attacks U.S. ambassador.
The attacker used a 10-inch fruit knife.
Winter storm cuts through eastern half of the nation.
The snow is getting thicker. The snowflakes are getting bigger.
An L.A. jury set to face the music. Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. A man shouting about Korean unification slashed the American ambassador to South Korea on the face and arm with a knife.
Leaving here.
Okay.
I'm leaving here. I need an ambulance fast. Get me to the hospital.
Mark Lippert, attacked on his way to an event in Seoul, was taken away for medical treatment.
The ambassador underwent a 2.5-hour surgery. It required 80 stitches on his face to suture up the 1-inch deep, 4 inches long gash across his face. He also received some nerve damage on his wrist.
Reporter Jason Strother in Seoul says the suspect has a history.
The attacker is a 55-year-old pro-North Korean activist. In 2010, he was arrested after throwing a block of cement at the Japanese ambassador.
Lippert is in stable condition and has spoken to President Obama by phone. Once America's top diplomat, Hillary Clinton, says in a tweet she's urged the State Department to release the emails she wrote as Secretary of State from a private email account. CBS's Nancy Cordes on Capitol Hill tells us the special committee investigating the 2012 Benghazi attack wants a look at them, too.
Now they're actually issuing subpoenas for those emails. What prompted the move was the news that not only did Clinton exclusively use private emails when she was Secretary of State, but that she housed those emails on a private server set up in her home in Chappaqua, New York.
A separate committee says it plans to investigate whether Clinton may have violated federal rules. A travel nightmare is unfolding from Texas to New England thanks to the latest winter storm. Millions of drivers in more than a dozen states are confronting snow or sleet. Ice is the problem in Franklin, Kentucky, where we find WTVF TV reporter Cuthbert Langley.
Once you get to the ground level, there's a solid 1/4 inch to 1/2 inch of ice. So we're mixing in with the snow, mixing in with the ice. It's really making it dangerous.
And CBS's Vanita Nair is in Philadelphia.
We're already starting to see some accumulation, 4 to 8 inches by nightfall. But the biggest problem is that tonight, after it stops, another round of freezing could happen, which means all of this could turn into ice. In addition to all of the ground transportation issues, there will also be some air transportation issues. About 50% of flights in Philadelphia are either delayed or canceled at this point.
And overall, airlines have canceled more than 2,400 flights. It's snowing in Boston, a city just a couple of inches away from the all-time winter record of 107.6 inches of snow.
It's like you don't want to give up in the 23rd hour and the last mile before the marathon, so we can take a little more.
In Boston, more prosecution witnesses will testify today at the marathon bomb trial. And CBS's Heather Bosch says the jury's already heard from three victims and has seen horrifying images.
Jurors saw videos taken near the heart of one of the blasts, the injured lying dazed in blood, smoke wafting, bloodied BBs and shrapnel on the ground. The testimony from survivors no less graphic. My bones were literally laying next to me on the sidewalk, Rebecca Gregory said. People's body parts were also lying everywhere. The defense did not cross-examine her. They basically admitted Tsarnaev took part in the bombings, but they insist his brother Tamerlan, who died in a shootout with police, was the architect of the plot. If convicted, jurors would decide whether Tsarnaev lives or dies. Heather Bosch, CBS News, Boston.
The city officials in Ferguson, Missouri vowed changes after a Justice Department report called some police practices discriminatory and unconstitutional. Some residents took to the streets last night, almost 7 months after the fatal shooting of a black teenager by a white officer.
Standing in the street, blocking traffic, demonstrators outside Ferguson Police Headquarters again.
Disband the Ferguson Police Department. You all corrupt.
Many say they don't trust Ferguson leaders to implement changes and that other cities in the St. Louis area have the same problems with discrimination. While there were a handful of arrests, there was also some dialogue between police and protesters this time. Michael Calhoun, CBS News, Ferguson, Missouri.
164 passengers and crew used emergency slides to get off an American Airlines flight yesterday in Denver. Smoke in the cabin was reported as the plane was taxiing after it landed on a flight from Charlotte. No sign of any fire on the plane. Ringling Brothers Circus says it will eliminate elephant acts by 2018 amid public concerns raised about the animals being used. A second hospital in Southern California is dealing with a superbug outbreak. CBS's Steve Futterman's in L.A.
Four patients at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center were infected with this so-called superbug from August to January. A similar outbreak was reported by the UCLA Medical Center 2 weeks ago. Both outbreaks are connected to a special scope called a duodenoscope, which is used for abdominal procedures. Its design does make it difficult to disinfect.
The earlier outbreak at UCLA is believed linked to two deaths. Six patients are getting kidney transplants from six donors at a San Francisco hospital in surgeries today and tomorrow. It's all thanks to a woman who started a chain of donations when she wasn't a match for a relative in a computer program that matches donors to recipients. Testimony is expected to wrap up today in the Blurred Lines trial. It'll be up to an L.A. jury to determine if that recent Robin Thicke hit is a ripoff of Marvin Gaye's 1977 song, Got to Give It Up. Matthew Bologna of The Hollywood Reporter says a win for Marvin Gaye's family could trigger a domino effect.
There is going to be a floodgate opened of potential cases where every legacy artist is going to start looking at songs that have come out and say, you know what? Maybe we have a claim here.
Pharrell Williams, who wrote the song, told the court yesterday he respects Marvin Gaye and would never copy his work. The fine print turned a Southern California woman's $7 Uber ride into an expensive proposition.
I got slapped with a $100 charge for a cleaning fee for bodily fluids.
Annie Foe says she's not to blame for whatever the driver found.
It was pouring rain Sunday night, so that's all I could think is that it was rainwater that got into the car.
And she says she complained to Uber and the online ride service promises a refund. Wisconsin is closer to becoming the nation's 25th right-to-work state. Reporter Bruce Marcus.
The Republican-controlled Assembly is setting aside 24 hours for the debate, but in the end, it's virtually certain the bill will pass. Most GOP lawmakers feel like Representative Jeff Mersaw.
A person just needs to have a choice, and this gives them a choice. Either they want to belong to it or they don't.
But Democratic Representative Gary Hebel says right-to-work is wrong.
It takes away the ability of workers to protect their income, to protect their benefits.
The state Senate has already passed the right-to-work bill. Bruce Marcus for CBS News, Madison, Wisconsin.
A Florida man who complained online about his boss faces legal trouble. Ryan Pate, who works for a company based in the United Arab Emirates, went public with a sick leave dispute when he got home to the U.S. When he returned to work, he was charged with slander and will face trial. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.